News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR.
So Pakistan says it is preparing to host what it describes as meaningful talks to end the conflict following the US attack on Iran, US and Israeli attacks on Iran. Meanwhile, Donald Trump is saying the quiet part out loud. He was quoted as saying, "To be honest with you, my favorite thing is to take the oil in Iran. But some stupid people back in the US say, why are you doing that? But they're stupid people." We spoke a little earlier to the Irish Times Israel correspondent Mark Weiss about whether or not there are signs of any actual productive talks happening.
We know the mediating parties are meeting in Pakistan. They met yesterday. They will hold more talks today. But these are not, strictly speaking, negotiations for an agreement. They're just trying to establish enough of a consensus that the talks may begin. I think there's two key issues that Trump would need a successful outcome, that he could sell this as a victory. The first one is extracting the 400 kilograms of enriched uranium from Iran and taking it abroad, maybe to a third party such as Russia, but certainly taking it out of Iran. That would remove the threat of Iran becoming a nuclear threshold state. The second issue, of course, is the Strait of Hormuz, which is effectively being blocked by Iran over the last few weeks. President Trump would need a solution to that problem, allowing the free passage again of shipping through that strategic waterway. I think without an acceptable compromise on both those two issues, it will be very difficult for America to end the war at this juncture.
That was Mark Wise, the Israel correspondent for the Irish Times. And I'm joined now by Nicholas Hopton, former UK ambassador to Iran and non-resident senior fellow at the Atlantic Council. In a moment, we'll talk about that news that a UNIFIL peacekeeper has been killed and another critically injured following an Israeli strike as they consolidate their gains in southern Lebanon. But before that, Nicholas, as a former diplomat, can I ask you about Donald Trump's statements? Because there has long been suspicion in some of America's international military adventuring that oil might have been a motivating factor in their thoughts. I think this is the first time that we've had a president say, to be honest with you, my favorite thing is to take the oil in Iran. That really is saying the quiet part out loud, isn't it?
Well, it's rather remarkable, as you say. It's not very diplomatic language, to say the least. And in fact, some might remember how in the past, buccaneering states such as Elizabethan England used to seize galleons full of gold from their Spanish enemies. And this doesn't seem a million miles away from that. It's a remarkable statement. More seriously, I think that, as you suggest, some people watching the geopolitics of this carefully will remember that actually Donald Trump has been consistent in one thing before and since this conflict, which is that actually at the end of the day, China is the main threat in his eyes and his administration's eyes towards US interests. And of course, China imports most of its oil. So perhaps some might suggest that by focusing on the oil, whether it's from Venezuela or Iran or elsewhere, and trying to achieve greater control of oil supplies and the oil price globally, the president of the United States is actually pursuing that focus on China and putting pressure on China in the longer term.
Now, what about the manner he is pursuing that objective? We're seeing a troop buildup. More than 10,000 troops, U.S. troops, more than would normally be present in the Middle East, are in the region. And about 3,000 U.S. Marines have recently arrived. What does that mean in terms of the likelihood of a ground attack?
Well, I think the president at the moment seems to be weighing options, and in his own words. And he seems to be building up choices for himself. On one hand, having more military assets in the region, including troops capable of taking the shoreline, as one US military commander put it, of Iran, it's, in other words, a limited invasion, will bring more pressure to bear on the Islamic Republic of Iran once talks begin in earnest, which they don't seem to have done yet. There seems to be proximity or remote exchanges of messages more going on at the moment. So, you know, it's a negotiating tool to bring in more assets. But on the other hand, of course, it does mean that the president could mount a ground invasion. Now, many people would warn against a repeat of what happened after Iraq in 2003. And I think it's a legitimate comparison to make, because actually Iran is considerably bigger and more complex a country than Iraq. And the US would need to be prepared for a long, protracted ground war if it did invade Iran, even if the regime imploded or disappeared, because the country is full of so many diverse groups and interests, including activist militant groups who would probably rise up. And a civil war is quite possible to envisage in those circumstances. So I think if the president really is contemplating a ground invasion and an occupation of Iran, hopefully he would weigh all the potential consequences which would make the present disruption of the region and geopolitics look minor by comparison, I fear.
There are, of course, two aggressors, America one, Israel the other, and there are reports that a UNIFIL peacekeeper has been killed in southern Lebanon. And obviously, to Irish ears, that will raise particular concerns given the Irish presence in southern Lebanon. What's your analysis of what's happening with Israeli actions in Lebanon, and how far do you think their reach and grasp will be?
Well, I think, first of all, one can only feel terribly sad about the death of a peacekeeper, someone who was sent to a place to keep the peace, not for aggressive purposes. It is totally unacceptable that peacekeepers from the UN or any other organization like that should be killed. So I hope the due investigation will take place and for future deaths like that will be avoided. It's a tragedy. The Israeli intention, as they have stated from the government ministers themselves, seems to be to seize control, to annex effectively the southern part of Lebanon up to the Litani River, which the intention being to ensure that Hezbollah are unable to put pressure to bear on the civilian populations of Israel in the Golan Heights and within missile reach of southern Lebanon. So it does seem that Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli Prime Minister, is taking full advantage of the wider regional conflict before there is any move towards de-escalation and peace talks, perhaps, to make a long-term lasting change and put Israel firmly in control of southern Lebanon. A situation, of course, they were in before, in the early 80s, which proved ultimately untenable and unsustainable because the Israeli forces were forced to withdraw eventually due to the ongoing pressure, military pressure and attacks on them.
Nicholas, thank you very much. Nicholas Hopton, former UK ambassador to Iran and non-resident senior fellow at the Atlantic Council.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.